Jamie Oliver has told a select committee that more taxation is not the way to curb the UK's obesity epidemic. He and fellow celebrity chef Hugh Fearnley-Withingstall were giving evidence to the Health and Social Care Select Committee. He said it's time for Theresa May to do what's right.
I think to say it's a catastrophe or an emergency is fair and true. I think if you speak to anyone in the NHS, doctors, paediatricians, dentists, this is a massive problem. If you spoke to Mark Carney at the Bank of England, you know, is British kids and adults being unhealthy and less productive good for the economy or bad? It's bad.
Both chefs are calling for measures to encourage healthy eating, including a ban on junk food adverts before the 9 o'clock watershed.
Without question, it is, in my opinion, immoral to not have any kind of view on the relentless advertising of high salt, fat, sugar products to kids.
But is it right that Jamie has brought this fight, I guess you could say, is it one that he should be tackling at all? 0-30-30-80-55-55, or should we find another way, or should indeed we take responsibility for what we eat and what we feed our children? Commentators Emma Wolfe and Fionnuala Meredith are with me. Good morning to you both.
Morning, Vinny.
Morning.
Fionnuala, what do you think?
I think it goes hard with a lot of people to see a multi-millionaire chef like Jamie Oliver or Hugh Fearnley-Withingstall sitting there telling people the way they should live their lives. And yes, sure, we don't. Very few of us like these sort of adverts for junk food that go out there, and probably not a great idea for kids to see them. So it's not that they're not talking sense. A lot of what they're saying is quite sensible. But I think, you know, if you remember way, way back when Jamie Oliver sort of first started these moral crusades, because that's basically what they are.
Did he not start off as the naked chef?
Yeah, but would you remember he went to a school in England, and it was to sort of revolutionise the bad diet there and bring in healthy eating. So, again, very well-meaning. But you had this weird thing where you had parents outside passing things like fish and chips through the railings to their kids, and everybody thought, oh, you know, how awful, what are these parents are doing? I had a certain kind of sympathy for them, because nobody likes being dictated to. This was suddenly imposed on them. And I don't think you change people's eating habits by intervening in that kind of way. I think people see Jamie Oliver sitting up there. Very easy for him. He can afford all his healthy food.
Yes, that's my question, Fionnuala. Is it the dictation at all, or is it the fact they're being dictated to by someone that is worth millions and could afford to feed his kids whatever he wanted?
Precisely. And the other thing I think is worth mentioning is that the Daily Mail recently did a bit of an expose on this, saying that Jamie's Italian restaurants, you know, he owns this chain of restaurants,
yes,
actually contain more calories and fat in some of their dishes for children than dishes at Burger King and Pizza Hut, which are the very companies that he's sort of saying, you know, rein in your advertising. So I think he should probably, you know, look to his own company before he starts lecturing everybody else.
Emma Wolfe, what do you think?
Look, I think, of course, there are inconsistencies and hypocrisies, but Jamie Oliver is absolutely right. And the fact that he and Hugh Fearnley-Withingstall are millionaires does not, you know, wipe out the fact that what they're saying is unbelievably important. We are heading towards a catastrophe of, you know, really epic proportions. The cost to the NHS of type 2 diabetes, of obesity, of overweight, of all of the illnesses connected with that is well over 15 billion. And, you know, all that Jamie and Hugh are saying is this stuff about advertising, it's out of control. The manufacturers have got us hooked, or got the children especially, but got everybody hooked on salt, fat and sugar of, you know, really, really dangerous levels.
And but are we taking the responsibility away then, Emma?
The
you know, we are adults, and we as adults then provide for our kids. So yes, advertising is designed, whether it's for a car or for a chicken burger, it is designed to make you want that.
What about the offers? What about the supermarket offers on 2-for-1, where pound for pound you can buy far more empty nutritional junk calories?
Yeah, so maybe that's the issue, and the issue isn't really the 9 o'clock watershed for advertising on TV.
Yeah, I know, but they're saying, well, the other point they're making is the junk food offers and the fact that barely 1% of advertising is on fruit and vegetables. And my point is, why are we not? Why can't fruit and vegetables be cheaper? Why should expensive organic food be so expensive and cheap empty food be so cheap? And that's really all that Jamie,
and I think, Emma,
Oliver and Hugh are saying.
Yeah, I think that is why some people find it difficult to hear it from people that...
It doesn't matter. matter where it comes from.
It does. People, let me finish my point. Let me finish my point, Emma. The issue is when it comes to money, because quite often, whether we like it or not, you've alluded to it yourself, it can be cheaper to eat terrible food, to eat junk food, and it can be more expensive to eat healthy and fresh food. Therefore, when you're told by someone that has the money to eat whatever they want, that you should be eating the stuff that tends to be more expensive, that frustrates some people.
You know what? I don't care where it comes from. Good for him.
I think people do.
All he's doing is losing business from his restaurants. But the fact is, children's teeth are falling out. I mean, this is, we spend more.
Okay.
Just to make the point, I think people do care. I don't think people like to feel lectured or patronised. You know, just out of interest, I went into my kitchen there and got down my Jamie Oliver cookbook, Comfort Food. There's some really good recipes in it. And there's one that I made recently, a hummingbird cake, which is a bit like a carrot cake, only it's made with pineapple. And I added up all the sugar. Hang on a second. I added up all the sugar in that. And it's going on, it's 850 grams of sugar content. That's not too far short of a kilo of sugar.
But yes, no one's saying you can't have a cake as a treat.
I don't think the point here, Emma or Fionnuala, is they're saying you should never ever eat any sugar or any fat.
What I'm saying is there's hypocrisy in railing against sugar and then putting a cake like that in your book.
Hold on. I think if he was coming out and making a public, like, this is what you should do, and sort of lecturing in that way, that might be relevant. But actually, he was in front of a governmental select committee. So really, he's trying to get policy change. And he did try with David Cameron, and he's trying again with Theresa May, this Jamie Oliver, this is. And so, yes, of course it's slightly rankled. But he's been quite honest. He said, I'm a bit overweight. You know, he has been honest. And also, those recipe books, you know, no one's saying you can't have a cake. They are
okay.
A treat.
Well, look, Fionnuala.
So is eating out.
Fionnuala, when it comes to it, I understand the point you're making about the issues, and there's maybe a slight class issue here as well. But when it comes down to the facts, for example, let's look at one from a couple of years ago, 2012, found that the annual cost of dealing with obesity here is £370 million a year. Now, that is a couple of years old, that stat. That has probably gone up because, let's face it, more of us are getting fatter. So it's got to be, surely, a multifaceted attempt at trying to tackle.
Precisely. No one denies that there's an obesity problem. I mean, that would just be foolish to do that. But multifaceted is the answer. I don't think there's a simplistic answer, such as the sugar tax, or the watershed for junk food advertising.
Yeah, we've got to hit it with everything, though, to try and tackle it.
Do something than nothing.
I think you've got to do it on an evidence-based procedure. I think that's what you've got to do. You've got to try and work out what works elsewhere. I don't think there's any point sort of flailing around doing random measures. But I think you've got to come back to the point that obesity does disproportionately affect children in deprived areas.
Yeah.
And I am not quite sure if Jamie Oliver gets what it's like to live in poverty.
But to be fair to him, he can't then, as a result, just be, well, you know, I'll not do it because I have money, I've worked hard, I've opened these restaurants, I've earned, I've built my way to wherever I am. You know, he just happens to be in that position.
Surely that's what famous people can do. They use their profile to try and affect
change. Well, let's bring in some calls at this point. Stuart and Clougher, good morning, Stuart.
Yeah, good morning, Vinny.
Go ahead.
I'll keep the story brief, but it has a bit of the story is important to tell. I'm a taxi driver, and I would have eaten at the most ridiculous hours of the morning. Obviously, not eating the right foods either.
What are you eating?
So, I've been eating kebabs and stuff. Some of the worst food that you could possibly imagine.
I like a kebab.
I do like it, but listen, I'll just get to the quick story as quick as I can for you, Vinny. It's just that I'm a coach of a local Gaelic team in Clougher, and I was standing on the sideline coaching, as you do, and I remember there was a wee bit of a melee broke out between all the players, and I went out to separate the melee. I got our players separated from the opposition. One of the opposition players greeted me with, "Get off the field, you fat effer," he says to me. So I thought to myself, is it really that noticeable that I'm not fat?
He said what to you?
He called me and he told me to get off the field, you fat effer.
Oh, I thought you said heifer, as in like a cow.
No, well, I suppose he probably thought it was that size anyway. But listen, being an adult, I took it on the chin. I thought to myself, I'll go home here. What's the motivation that I need to sort of change my diet? So I got myself kick-started. Of course, I've got a big enough gob there. So I said, I'll join a boot camp. And Matty C Fitness, Larry, a brilliant motivator.
Right, no advertising. What did you lose?
And I lost a couple of pounds so far. And this is my third week on it, and I've joined the gym. I just feel that you're never too old. I know 46 on the scale of things isn't old, Vinny.
No, it's not. What do you weigh?
I weigh about 14 stone. 15
what height
stone.
Are you? I'm 15 and a... Never mind. What height are you?
Well, I'd probably be a wee bit shorter than you. I'd be just under 5 foot. Under 5 foot, I'd say. You're just in around that.
You're just under 5 foot?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, look, that man, as horrible as him calling you a heifer was, that he maybe has done you a favour because, you know, we can all be oblivious to certain aspects of our personality or indeed our appearance. And, you know, people might be overweight and think, well, they see those advertisements warning us on TV and on the radio and we think, oh, that's other people, that's not me, I'm fine.
Can I just say, Vinny, that, I mean, what you're saying is correct, but, you know what I mean, the point of it all is that you're never too old to start and get into a wee bit of fitness. And we all are responsible for the National Health Service the way it is at the moment. But if we look after ourselves, we'll live that bit longer, and hopefully I can see grandchildren growing up whenever my kids have them.
Okay. Stuart, thank you.
Vinny.
Yes, Emma.
Sorry, just, I mean, the figure that you quoted, about 370 million, it's way under. It's in the billions in terms of linked, you know, illnesses linked to obesity.
Well, this is in Northern Ireland, not a UK figure.
Sorry, but we spend more on type 2 diabetes than we do on the fire service and the judiciary.
Let's go.
It is a national crisis.
Okay, let's go to Martin at this point. Good morning, Martin.
Morning, Benny. How are you?
I'm all right. What do you think? I'm actually hungry, and this talk of food is making me hungrier.
Okay. No, Benny, I was 21 stone and 1 pound, kind of this time last year.
Okay.
That's 295 pounds, and I managed to lose 56 pounds. I didn't go near a gym, and I simply switched my nutrition around. And what our challenge is, we get bombarded with flyers from supermarkets selling us chicken nuggets or pizza or fries. Incomes are low. People are stretched for money. So we'll go for the cheaper option. You know, we could end up, say, going into a filling station and seeing a bar of chocolate for a pound, which is about twice the size of a bar of chocolate for 86p. And we're all too convinced that if we join up with a gym, we're going to all of a sudden magic ourselves into athletes. And the bottom line is it's about 80% nutrition and 20% exercise. We all need to exercise more, but we need to get the nutrition right.
The thing is, though, we do all know that. You know, we know exactly that a fry is not good for you, that chocolate bars, fizzy drinks, we know this already. Yeah. We know that if you do no exercise at all, if you eat at bad times of the day, or if you're constantly eating. So we all know that. But so many of us, and to an extent I include myself, but, you know, we ignore it. We think, you know, it's fine, that'll happen to somebody else. I'm not fat, I'm just big boned. It's okay. And then we run to the top of the stairs and can't quite understand why we can't breathe.
Yeah. No, and your challenge is, you see people arguing on Twitter, you know, where your doctors arguing with personal trainers. There's people saying you should go low carb, no carb. Carbs were brought in and we're encouraged to eat carbs in the 70s to satisfy the grain farmers of America. The cereals that in the morning we think are healthy, but if we look at them, like these athletes who eat bacon and eggs for breakfast and they're losing weight.
I know, but then you see as well, and this really does my head, and you see people on social media with six packs or tiny waists and they're eating pizza and stuff and burgers. That's all nonsense as well.
But they're not really eating pizza and burgers.
Or they haven't eaten in a fortnight and then they eat half the burger for the picture. Norman and Bangor, good morning, Norman.
Morning, Van Nuys.
You're not the most svelte individual.
I am tired of listening to these people. Do-gooders on their healthy eating. I'll give you an example. My son came home from Scotland to stay with us for a week, a few weeks ago.
Okay.
The wife made him a good dinner, and he says to me, do you want anything in the shop? I says, no. He went down to the shop, bought 10 packets of crisps, 4 tins of Coke, and he sat and ate every one of them packets of crisps, one after another, and he's been doing that from his 15 years of age.
And is he a big fella?
He's 48 years of age, he's 5'10", and he never puts an ounce of weight on.
Well, he's just the type of person that you'd love to hate.
Funny, if you even look at the rugby players, Rory Best and these players, they're all heavy body mass. Everyone's body mass is different.
That's true, and your son can eat clearly what he wants and doesn't gain weight, and there's people at the other end of the scale that look at a donut and they put weight on, you know, and I guess there's people that find it hard to lose weight, etc. So it's not one rule fits all.
No, I eat one good meal a day, Bunny, and I find it hard to keep weight off.
What weight are you, Norman?
I'm 16 stone. I'm far too heavy, and I'm on a diet now. But if I eat anything less, just say I'll be like a rabbit, so I'll eat a carrot or something.
Norman, thank you. Alex in London. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Vinny.
Good morning.
It's difficult listening to this because most of it is tripe as regards to Jamie Oliver is concerned. They were talking about him being a millionaire. Does anybody know how he started out in life as a child growing up?
He worked.
He was in a pub. His parents ran a pub.
Oh, good. And did that, was he eating crisps or anything else at that time? Would you know it?
Who knows? Who knows?
Well, precisely. I think it's a bit rich for someone who is made millions from cooking to dictate to anybody or even suggest, sorry, and take the word dictate away, to suggest that you, I, or anybody else should do this, that, or the other is a complete nonsense.
But why does it matter? What, he's raising the issue. He's trying to get it on the public kind of agenda.
Yeah, well,
this
agenda,
is
look,
children
look,
are
we're
dying
educated
early.
People. We know what we want or do not want. If I go to a restaurant, I know exactly what I want, and I don't want Jamie Oliver or anybody else telling me what I'm going to have. I've been to some of these caps, by the way, which he owns, and the champagne corks go popping at a rate of knots. They're the people telling the other, which, if you like to put it, working class, which I don't like to use the word, those on lower money, put it that way, can't afford a bottle of fizzy water. I'm sorry, it's a complete nonsense.
So they can afford burgers, they can afford pizzas and burgers, but they can't afford a bottle of water.
See where we're going with this? I think there's a risk of a division between all us, you know, middle-class, enlightened people telling less well-off people how they should behave, and people quite naturally resent being treated as stupid.
He wasn't doing that.
Hold on a second, Emma. Just let Fionnuala finish, and then I'll bring you back in. I'm going to get a nosebleed.
I'm on the verge of one myself. People quite naturally do resent being treated as stupid, greedy sheep who need to be guided away from foods that have been labelled harmful. You mean, look at the Hands Off Our Iron Brew campaign. Did you see that in Scotland? People were really annoyed that the manufacturer was planning to have the sugar content of iron brew.
I'm glad you find it funny, because half of children in Scotland are obese.
Please, and it's not, we can't just say it's down to iron brew. Please let me finish the point. What I'm saying is that people resent it when they are told that the way they should be eating and drinking. And I don't actually think that helps to deal with the very difficult problem of obesity.
Okay, Mike and Oma, the last call on this for today. Good morning, Mike. Go ahead.
Good morning, Vinny. Vinny, I had the great news last week. I've been told that I've reversed my diabetes.
Fantastic.
And medications have been removed.
So how did you do that?
Well, I did it because I stopped putting into my mouth with that which caused me to become type 2 in the first place.
And what would you have been eating? What was a typical meal for you?
I wouldn't have drank sugary drinks. I wasn't into chocolate. My normal diet was bread, potatoes, carrots, that sort of thing. Breakfast cereals. All that sort of
thing.
See,
that all sounds okay.
Yes, but you see, they're full of sugar, they're full of carbs that convert to glucose in the blood.
So right. You don't eat any bread now or...
All gone.
What else have you cut out?
All gone. Carrots. All root vegetables are gone because they're all full of starch. Any vegetables I eat now are all green leafy vegetables growing above ground. I eat healthy fat and moderate protein.
Like what?
Well, beef, chicken.
But no, healthy fat, what do you mean by that? Is that like yogurts and stuff?
Oh, no.
Olive oil.
No. The thing about yogurts is that there's sweeteners in them.
Ah, sure. They're not safe to eat nearly anything.
Eh?
Well, look, congratulations, Mike. You're off your medication. You've reversed your diabetes. That's fantastic.
Well, 88,000 people in Northern Ireland are type 2 diabetes. I know, this thing, you take your medications and carry on eating your carbs, over the long term, it just doesn't work. Medications will not stop complications from type 2 diabetes.
Okay.
I know that for a fact.
Okay. Well, look, congratulations, Mike. I'm delighted for you. And it just goes to show a bit of hard work and a few tweaks to your diets. Emma Wolf, thank you very much. Fionnuala, before you go... You know, listening to you earlier describe your day, I think maybe you're a bit posher than I thought. Are you actually a bit middle class yourself?
I couldn't deny it.
What a handy existence you have. A little cooking, perhaps, a little stroll with the dogs.
My hummingbird cake now.
And then maybe a little bit of classical music. Did you say something about hummingbirds?
The hummingbird cake, the one with nearly a kilo of sugar in it.
Are you going to bake today, maybe go to the theatre later?
Might do.
Really? Well, we'll just play a little bit more of this for you. Fionnuala Meredith, thank you very much. I like that music. Right, enough of that for now.